They know what they're doing. Buster Olney knows what he's doing as well from ESPN, joining us now on the Loud Security Systems Newsmaker line. Buster, good morning. We appreciate the time.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
No problem at all. We talk about the Cardinals. I know they have Goldschmidt. They have some other power guys as well, but they're pretty much an old-school style baseball team, are they not? They're going to be smart on the bases. They're going to steal when they can, and their pitching is strong.
Yes, and it feels like that they play with more energy and more focus since Mike Schilt took over as their manager last year. You know, the players on that team talk about what a difference maker they really feel like he's been. They're more engaged. I can tell you, just being around that team early in the year, you just got a sense that there was a great esprit de corps. And they had some ups and downs during the course of the year. Goldschmidt took a while to get rolling. He hasn't really had the huge year that maybe they anticipated, but it's a really good team, and they got the big dog, and Jack Flaherty, who probably reminds me more than anybody else of somebody you guys have seen pitch in the past, and that's John Smoltz. You know, that big right-hander who absolutely unflappable with nasty fastball and slider.
Buster Olney from ESPN, like we said, with us on the Loud Security Systems Newsmaker line. We talk about the Braves, and obviously we have to start with the concern surrounding Freddie Freeman. We know he's going to try to play through it, but how effective is he going to be? That's the question nobody can answer.
Yeah, 100%. And look, if you see his performance since September 10th, he struggled, and it's had some effect on him. And I saw what he said yesterday. I'm actually out here in California for the American League wildcard game tomorrow night. But I saw what he said yesterday, and he didn't say I was fine. You know, he didn't say, I'm 100% and I'm good to go. It's, the fact that he just needed those at-bats over the weekend, the couple at-bats on Sunday, I think tells you that he doesn't feel great. And it'll be very interesting to see if he's not the normal Freddie Freeman, you know, how would that affect the decision-making of Schilt through big situations? Because Freddie's one of those hitters that I think even if he was in some kind of a slump, other teams, other pitchers would still be afraid of him because of his experience and his understanding of what pitchers are trying to do.
I want him standing there for his four ABs. I also said I'll be curious to see if they don't think he can pull the ball, do they shift him quite as much? Because Freddie will do it. He's done it all year long. He'll slap it the other way. Hell, I think he'll lay down a bunt if he thinks getting on base for Josh Donaldson would be a good thing.
Yeah, 100%. I would agree with you. And he's also just one of those guys that, can figure it out. I will tell you, just talking with hitters about that, those type of injuries, they just say how they nag and affect. And there's not much margin for error when the guy in the mound's throwing the ball 95 miles an hour.
So if I told you you get off the bus with either a team that hits a lot of home runs or a staff that doesn't give them up for the postseason this October in 2019 baseball, what would you rather have, a team that hits bombs or a staff that doesn't give them up?
A staff that doesn't give them up. And that's historically, as you guys know, in October, it's a month that's owned by pitching because teams, they focus more on scouting reports. They'll dig in, and I'm sure through the use of analytics, identify weaknesses in opposing hitters, and they just attack them and attack them and attack them with a discipline that you don't always see during the regular season. And that's why, you will see these big swings of offensive performance in the postseason where teams are hitting under 200 because it's a month that typically pitchers are going to dominate. And so I'd rather have a staff that would keep the ball in the ballpark.
We're going to talk a little bit about the managerial openings and some of the other things that might happen. But I do my favorite staff for the year is the Houston Astros. And if you want to know how good they are, they strike out more people and they strike out the fewest. Never in Major League Baseball has a team done those things. And again, in 2019, that might be the most incredible thing that I've seen and read all year long.
And this is a team that won the World Series in 2017. And you can make a pretty compelling case that the 2019 version of the Astros is better than that team because they now have Zach Greinke lined up at number three because the balance of their lineup. If you remember, that 2017 team was basically right-handed, heavily right-handed. But this year, they've got Michael Brantley. They've got Yordan Alvarez, who should win the American League Rookie of the Year voting unanimously. He's been that good. You know, they do have some questions in their bullpen, but besides that, it is no doubt the easy favorite to me to win the World Series.
Buster Olney from ESPN with us on the Loud Security Systems Newsmaker line. How do you rate the job that Alex Anthopoulos did over the course of the season with some of the moves that he made?
I think it's been phenomenal. The fact that he, you know, saw the questions in the bullpen and reacted to it and spending the resources before the trade down the deadline and, you know, being able to plug that hole, which was such a big concern. And let's face it, I don't think anybody who's going to compare the Braves bullpen with that of the Yankees, but it's certainly a better bullpen than it was early in the year. You just, you know, you hope that Freddie, Ronald Acuña Jr. are healthy enough to be factors in this postseason.
Yeah, and that's a big injury, too, that I think everybody's just assuming they shut him down to be safe. But who knows when you're talking about a groin injury, a hip injury, all that stuff ties together.
I will tell you that when I asked around about this last Thursday, Friday, what I got back was, look, we think he's going to be fine. It's not that big of a deal. We just want to make sure that before we go into this potentially month-long series of big games, that we give him as much of a chance to heal as possible. And this is a lot of young hitters. You, I think, worry about someone having a, you know, extended period of time off at the end of the regular season. He's a pretty refined hitter, for someone that young, has an understanding of hitting, I think, better than a lot of other young players. So I think he'll be okay.
You can look at stat lines, but I'll make a case that nobody has been as important to their own team as Yadier Molina has been for 10 years plus for the St. Louis Cardinals. How factually accurate is that still to this day at 37 years old?
100%. And, you know, it's a fun debate to get into on Twitter when you just throw out there's Yadier Molina Hall of Famer, because if you look at some of the advanced metrics and, you know, that evaluate offense, he's not that high up. But you know and I know, Chris, that, like, you talk to folks on that Cardinals staff and they explain how he moves the defense and his imagination with pitch calling. He's not the force that he used to be in terms of throwing out runners. You know, that's probably the part of his game that is eroded. There are times when he doesn't move that well behind the plate in terms of blocking balls in the dirt, but he is an absolute leader. And now he is beginning to hit some of those benchmarks that, especially for catchers, if you can reach next year, he'll reach 2,000 hits. To me, he's a unanimous selection for the Hall of Fame because he's been so dominant on the defensive end. And his managers, you know, whether it's Tony La Russa, Mike Matheny, now Mike Schilt, they all rely on him really heavily.
All right. There are some managerial jobs that we know are open. I want to start with a couple that aren't yet. Do you think there's a guy, and I'll go with Joe Maddon or Joe Girardi, so that's two, that if their guys called the Phillies and the Mets, could a move be made based upon an interest from the right guy or two? In other words, would a GM make a move if they knew that manager X was in line to take their job?
And maybe an example of that would be the Phillies, who, you know, sitting today, Gabe Kapler, the Phillies haven't announced what his status is going to be for next year. Maybe they look at Joe Maddon and his situation and the fact that he's now looking for a job and say, you know what, we want to get the Pennsylvania guy Maddon and put him in that job. That would be an example of the thing you're talking about. But I don't think that's the case. I think that, I think Mickey Callaway is going to get fired. I think it's going to happen tomorrow. I was surprised they didn't do it on Sunday because they've been doing so much background work on other potential candidates. And in the case of the Phillies, I think it just comes down to what John Middleton, their owner, wants. You know, Matt Klentak, the general manager, has said that he likes the work Gabe's done. He's very comfortable with Gabe. I think if it's up to Klentak, then Gabe stays. But John Middleton stepped in and led the pursuit for Bryce Harper. He stepped in and was the guy who essentially fired the hitting coach and brought in Charlie Manuel on an interim basis. And I think it remains to be seen whether or not he's going to do that when it comes to Gabe Kapler.
If I go better than even money, Joe Girardi's managing next year. Is that a bet in Vegas that should be? It should be less than even money at this point?
Boy, it's hard to say. I would say that I think it's less. And I'll tell you why, because he actually had a chance to manage the Reds last year. And in the end, he passed on it because – you know, and I haven't asked Joe directly this, but just my guess is he reads them as not necessarily a situation that where they can win now. And if you look at some of the openings, I think the Cubs is going to come down to our friend David Ross or Mark Loretta, who's their bench coach. The Mets, I just don't see them paying the type of money I think Joe could command to manage. Maybe the Phillies would be a factor, potentially. But and in the Angels' case, now that they fire Brad Ausmus, I think they're the team that's going to wind up landing Maddon.
Circling back around to the Braves and the Cardinals, Buster Olney from ESPN with us on the Loud Security Systems Newsmaker line. Who do you like in the series?
I like the Braves, and part of it is I'm stubborn. And back in January, I picked the Astros to face the Braves in the World Series and the Astros to win the World Series, and I'm going to stick with that. But I also think the practical reality is that this Braves team in 2019 is much better equipped to have success in the postseason than last year, you know, in part because of the experience on the team, the younger players having another year under their belt, Josh Donaldson on the roster, you know, some of those bullpen holes being plugged. I think you can paint a much more reasonable path navigating through October than we could have a year ago. So I think the Braves will win the series, and I think they'll wind up playing in the series.
Just real quick, they have to win tonight. But I think there are people who just said, well, if the Braves win this series, they're going to play the Dodgers. I'm a believer if the Nationals win this game tonight, they beat the Dodgers. I just think it's hard to go to the World Series 3 years in a row.
And I think of all the teams in the National League, the four other teams, the Nationals match up better with the Dodgers than any of the others because they got three great starting pitchers. They can match. They can go toe-to-toe with the Dodgers in the starting pitching in a way that other teams maybe can't. When you can run out of Scherzer and a Strasburg and a Patrick Corbin, that's pretty good.
What kind of market do you think is going to be out there for Josh Donaldson?
I kicked that around with some folks a couple weeks ago, and I think he's going to get paid well, but, you know, he played on a one-year deal this year. I think that might be the best way for him to go moving forward. I don't necessarily see that there are going to be teams out there willing to give, you know, big long-term offers for him, but because of his production and, you know, he showed to have a good year and he clearly has demonstrated that he's got something left, I do think there are probably going to be teams willing to give him a lucrative 1 or 2 year offer. A team that interests me a little bit is the Texas Rangers, who I think are going to take a run at Anthony Rendon, who's going to be the biggest position player free agent in the offseason. And I think Rendon is going to wind up signing elsewhere. I heard a lot of rumblings that the Dodgers are looking at Rendon, and if they set their hooks on him, maybe that's going to be their big move during the course of the offseason. But I could see Donaldson being sort of a consolation prize for the Texas Rangers, who are moving into a new ballpark and are going to have some money to spend.
I didn't believe I'd see another $200 million pitcher, but I saw him this year in Gerrit Cole.
I
didn't call it collusion or any of those things. I think it's been a market correction for a few years because, quite honestly, they've overpaid. And I wasn't sure if we'd ever see the $200 million-plus pitcher. If ever a guy has earned his right to say, we'll start at 200, it's Gerrit Cole.
Yep, and he will break the record. The current record for the biggest contract ever for starting pitchers, David Price, $217 million. I've talked with agents, and I talked with club executives, and they are all in agreement. He's going to break the record. Look, he's got the perfect – not only does he – coming off an amazing year, he's going to finish first or second in the American League Cy Young Award voting. He's at the absolute peak of his game. He's a horse. He's big. He's demonstrated he can pitch in big games. He checks all the boxes. And what's also going to work for him is the fact that he hits the market at a time when the Yankees are looking for a starting pitcher. The Phillies will be looking for a starting pitcher. The Angels, you know, who play in a ballpark only 4 miles from where Gerrit Cole went to high school, they're looking for a starting pitcher. Some of the people in the Dodgers organization, they've had sort of an internal debate. Do we go after Rendon or do we spend our money on Gerrit Cole? Gerrit Cole is going to do just fine this offseason. He will get the biggest deal we've ever seen for a starting pitcher.
All right, Buster, enjoy Northern California in esprit de corps. I am stealing that, and I'm going to use that, needless to say, for the rest of the week, much to Chris Domino's dismay.
Yeah, I'm not sure he'll use it properly in any
sense. Probably not, but I'm going to use it nevertheless.
But he has duly written it down, no doubt about it. I watched his pen as you did that.
Buster, we appreciate the time,
thanks,
as always.
Buster.
See you guys.
All right.
Buster Olney from ESPN joining us on the Loud Security Systems Newsmaker line.